For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones, bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. It's that time of the week. Every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
Fabulous. How are you guys?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Jared, it's been a little bit of a losing streak in Jared versus Joe competition. It's kind of like the Titans. You've forgotten how to win. What's going on this year?
Yeah, I mean, I am kind of laughing because I think I lost on Peter Skoronski. Which, again, I didn't say he was a bust. I said he is trending towards being
He's trending toward being a bust. Trending.
Which is hilarious because Titan fans get so mad. Every time I mention Peter Skoronski's name, Titans fans get really, really mad at me. Yesterday, I put up a poll on Twitter last night during the Thursday night football game. I said, who would you rather have, Puka Nacua or Peter Skoronski? Puka Nacua has 70% of the vote. And the only people I think that are voting against it are the ones that are like, well, the Titans wouldn't use Nacua right anyway, so what's it matter? And it's like, yeah, that's a bad sign. So, I mean, I just feel like the Skoronski thing, like, I don't think Skoronski's not an NFL player. I do. One guy tweeted me and said, Stillman's just mad because Skoronski was picked so high that he should be Quentin Nelson. Yes. Correct answer. And he is not. And so I just think that, again, like the Skoronski thing is a microcosm of why this organization stinks so bad right now and why I don't feel very optimistic about the current decision-making leading its way out of it.
So let's get into that. So you've talked with Trevor Maddich about this. It's been really interesting to get his kind of breakdown of the way that Skoronski has played. As you watch him play, how much of it do you think is him? How much of it do you think is what's going on to the left of him and to the right of him? And, you know, for people who think that that's mainly it, the people around him right now, what would your response be to what you've seen from Skoronski?
I'm sure that the people around him are playing a role in this because they both stink. So, like, I mean, there's no, like, the offensive line's a group of five, and it's almost like asking a wide receiver who doesn't have a quarterback to throw the ball to put up numbers, right? I mean, at some point, like, you got to have at least somebody get you the ball. So maybe the fact that he's got the two guys around him that stink, they're a part of it. The problem is he's getting turnstiled way too much. I mean, whether it's in pass protection, whether it's running, where all of a sudden he's trying to block a guy and he spins the other way because the guy runs right past him and they end up in the backfield. And that's on him. And so how much of it's the guys next to him? I'm sure that's part of it. I mean, I have all these people that use that appendicitis as like this big, you know, Jared, what do you expect? He had an appendicitis 4 months ago. I expect him to come back from an injury and play well. But again, my problem's not so much with Skoronski as much as it is with the process that led you to Skoronski and the Titans' decision-making that, you know, they just had to have Peter with the 11th pick. And I go back to what you guys said on the show and even what Trevor said, right? I don't necessarily disagree with Trevor that maybe Peter has the potential to be a really good guard one day down the road. I'm not drafting a potentially good guard with the 11th overall pick. I'll draft a potentially good quarterback at 11. I'll draft a potentially good edge rusher or corner or wide receiver or whatever. I'm not drafting a potentially good kicker with the 11th overall pick. If I draft somebody with the 11th overall pick and they play guard, they better be good right now. And that doesn't come from me. I heard that from Floyd. And I mean that, so... To me,
right,
I
But you said it too, Joe.
2 days ago.
No. He absolutely needs to be great. No question. But like
he needs to be great right now.
But you're going back to the drafting like anyone who drafts anyone knows what's going to happen. I mean, they don't know. It may end up being a mistake, but at that time they thought he was that, right? It's plug and play. They thought he was that guy. That's
right.
And they went
with
their big board.
They thought Andre Dillard was a good left tackle. Well, there's only so many you thoughts at the time before you get fired. And
which
I
is right now per you.
Well, that I mean, I'm not going to get – did you – yesterday I asked TD. I said, why should I give these guys another chance to fix the offensive line when they so bungled it this past year? Which, let's go around the room. Can we agree that the commission – bungled the offensive line this offseason?
Yes, no question.
Okay.
Dillard, yes.
I mean, Brewer?
Well.
Joe!
I mean, look, you can be better than Brewer. So,
significantly
better than Brewer. The mistake is Dillard. Dillard is the cause for all other issues. I mean, really. And they're not good enough elsewhere, but they weren't going to fix everything.
If they brought a good left tackle in with this ragtag bunch next to it, that they'd be good enough to not get the quarterback murdered twice?
I mean, maybe. Sure. Well, yeah, I think that's absolutely feasible. They still wouldn't be a complete offensive line. They'd need to get better. But
Robbie,
yes.
Do you buy that?
I think it would. I mean, look at how much pressure that's come from the left side this year. I think it would help significantly.
How much has come up the middle?
Well, there's enough coming up the middle, too. But a lot's come from around
the
edge.
Again, if those guys are going to mess up that royally on the offensive line last year, why should I give them another chance to do the same thing? Like,
because you just went through the process of hiring a GM, and then you, after firing a GM in season, and you've had one off season with the GM,
and he
and
failed
it wasn't
miserably.
He failed the left tackle.
I've
that was 70%
of people wanting to take the Rams' 5th round pick over the 11th overall pick in the draft.
Huh? Talking about Nacua.
Yeah, okay. I mean, congrats on your Twitter poll. You know what?
Yes.
Yeah, he failed at left tackle.
And left guard right now. As of right now, left guard has been a failure.
But right now, if you're the owner, you're
and
playing
center
owner.
Center has been a failure.
You're playing the owner.
Has center been a failure this year?
It's not what left tackle is.
Oh, I mean, a 270-pound center that can't block and pass protection.
Oh, you've upgraded.
And can't snap.
Gain weight.
And he's never had a good snap either.
I mean, he's
he just crossed the Mendoza line of weight, and he can't snap the ball.
He's had enough bad ones, and that's the problem, right? So, I mean, the best offensive lineman they've had this entire season is Chris Hubbard, who was a $1.3 million minimum signing off the scrap heap. They have no way to evaluate offensive linemen. I'm still not convinced that Skoronski can't play left tackle, because the only reason that Skoronski's not playing left tackle is because they thought that he's more of a guard than he is a tackle. But they also thought that Andre Dillard was a good left tackle. So maybe, just like they got Andre Dillard wrong, maybe they're getting Peter's position wrong. But guess what? They'll never try it, so we'll never know.
I think that's an interesting point. Do you think Hotailing is going to get fired after this season?
Absolutely. And I don't know if it's his fault. You know, I mean, like, as far as I don't know if it's his fault that he was unqualified for the job, you know, from a resume standpoint, and that the talent that he was given all across the line, not just at left tackle, has been absolute crap. But, I mean, yesterday he said, and I know that Vrabel doesn't want his assistant coaches to say anything, and that's why he's probably going to have fired Tom Quinn at the end of the year, because he answers questions directly, unlike everybody else, and says who messes up and who needs to play better. But he said yesterday to Paul that everybody is improving on the offensive line. I'm like, get this bozo out of here. Like, I just oh, that's almost as bad as Tim Kelly saying that it was a perceived bad game for Jalen Duncan and Peter Skoronski on Sunday, as if we didn't watch it. I mean, it's just so embarrassing. But yeah, I think Hodling's, I think he's out. I think Bowen's going to be out at the end of the year, and I do wonder, are they going to apply pressure on Vrabel to get rid of the coordinator? I wouldn't necessarily do that, but...
Wait, you're already firing Vrabel. What are you talking about? You're already firing Vrabel and Carthon.
I'm talking about what they're going to do.
Oh, okay.
But I could see ownership pressing on Tim Kelly.
You know, Zach, thanks for bringing up Puka Nacua. Sorry that he's not playing for you because you got eliminated in fantasy football. He says 32 teams passed on Puka Nacua, an average of 4.5 times. So fire all the GMs, I guess. Fire them all, Jared. If they fired them all, I think Jared actually could get one of these jobs.
I don't know what the point of that is. What I will tell you is that there should be no 5th-round pick that you look at your first pick. For example,
it happens all the time, Jared.
There should not be not the for seven, your team.
The Mr. Irrelevant might win MVP. Mr. Irrelevant might win MVP, Jared. This happens all the time.
Your 11th pick should be good. It's kind of like Ike Ekwonu, right? People bust all the time, but it's going to really hinder the Carolina Panthers that he absolutely freaking sucks as the sixth overall pick. That's the point.
I agree. Also, Jared, in your firing of the first year GM, do you
what
think
what has he done that's good, Joe?
You don't think that there's any value in this draft class? You don't think the first draft class of his has any positivity to it? There's no value. There's no redeeming qualities in this draft class.
I think that the draft is kind of like, you know, if Levis pops, it's a good draft, and if Levis doesn't, uh-huh. it's not.
That's kind of like what you're judged on, aren't you, as a GM right, in this league, when you draft your franchise quarterback?
But again, with Levis, I mean, we don't know. Everything else, I mean. The Rams' two third-round picks both have six sacks. Like, that is legitimate production from rookies that you don't get. Instead, I got everybody telling me that if they handed the ball to Tajay Spears all the time, that he would be a great running back.
Yeah, he hasn't made any plays this year. He hasn't done anything this year.
I mean, Spears is fine. He's fine. He's a good third-down back. That's what he is right now. Could he be a back that runs the ball every down? I don't necessarily think so. I wouldn't rule it out, but I mean, again, as of right now, your draft classes, maybe you're good at quarterback, which we see all the time. Again, after the first year, maybe Kenny Pickett was going to be good. Maybe Desmond Ridder was going to be good. Maybe Mac Jones, who made the Pro Bowl, was going to be good. So that happens all the time. I lived through Vince Young. So did Robbie. And right now, Will Levis is not Vince Young. But again, the best you can tell me is a good third down back is what I'm looking at out of this draft. That is disheartening.
DeAndre Hopkins, was that a good signing or no? Is that, I don't know.
They lucked into DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. All right. Anything good? It's not because of them. Anything bad? It's on them.
Do you think they lucked into DeAndre Hopkins? If any,
how'd they luck into him? They offered him the most money.
they sat on their ass and were like, hey, hopefully, you know, somebody doesn't decide. If Mahomes had walked into the owner's office,
like,
and I think
you have
in hindsight,
no idea
Mahomes
the
wishes
conversations.
That he did, had walked in there and said, I want DeAndre, and you are going to pay DeAndre Hopkins to get him to come here, DeAndre would be a chief, and I don't know where your passing game would be. It wasn't like the Titans went out, sought out DeAndre Hopkins, and found a way to – they just sat there, waited for him to be released. Then they brought him in on a visit. Then they offered him X amount of dollars, and they were lucky that nobody else in the league wanted him.
Are they going to fire your boy Kenny Payne after last night getting throttled by the Wildcats?
I don't think they'll fire him, like, immediately. I'll put it to you like this. My sense is, and that Kenny Payne is an example of why I don't trust, like, Vrabel and Carthon, because
no matter what you bring up, it'll justify
after
this
1 year. Well, I told you this the other day at the Preds game. I said after 1 year, like, everybody knew that Kenny Payne couldn't coach, but there was nothing that they could do about it, because if they were to have fired Kenny Payne after 1 year, it would have been. I mean, they probably would have honestly been dealing with, like, a riot or something. Like, it would have been around Louisville so crazy. So they had to bring him back or whatever. But he's a terrible coach. Yesterday, he got up after the game and said, well, I guess I have to go into the transfer portal to get players, which is something that he probably should have learned, I don't know, 2 years ago. So he's, you know, probably like how the Titans will learn one day that you don't draft guards with the 11th overall pick unless they're really, really good. But yeah, Kenny Payne's getting fired. The question is not if he's getting fired. The question is when his buyout drops by $2 million on March 31st. Ooh. And I think if they can wait until then, they'll really, really, really want to do that. But Kenny Payne may not give them a choice, because the amount of stupid stuff he does just continues to pile up on a daily basis.
That was a tapestry that was expertly woven together by our friend Jared Stillman to weave all that stuff together. That was good.
And it's clearly something that I have thought about.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is. It's funny, because that's like you guys, you know, Joe's like, you can't fire the first year GM. And now all the basketball media bennies, which Joe's technically not a part of anymore, but he's still like, you know, he's cool enough to go into the club.
Ooh.
They're all like, Louisville should have fired Kenny Payne after the first year.
Who's saying that?
Dana O'Neill, yeah. And Goodman.
The idea, yeah, the idea that you're
Rob
comparing
Doster.
The disaster of Kenny Payne's coaching tenure at Louisville to this offseason of Carthon is really amazing. It really is.
It's just like a total lack of understanding of how any of this works, right? It's like Kenny Payne yesterday after the game sat up there. I kid you not, his last answer was, well, I guess I'm going to have to go into the transfer portal. But these players come up to me because we won four games last year, and they say, Coach, are we going to win more than four games? And so I have to deal with that. And I'm like, well, whose fault is that, that you won four games last year? That's your fault. And then he said, and we can't let the good teams know that we're interested in certain players out of the transfer portal, or else then they might go to the good teams. And I'm like, yes, that's recruiting. And so I just see so many similarities.
Conclusion, but, fire Ran.
I mean, I want to fire both of them. Unless you want Andre Dillard, you know, the Andre Dillard 2.0 next year.
Hey, they could keep him. He's under contract, technically.
Bring back Dennis Daly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
here's the problem. Last year, I didn't think it could get worse than Dennis Daly. I really didn't.
It did.
And it did.
It did.
For $10 million, it got worse than Dennis Daly.
It certainly did.
And it's still worse than Dennis Daly now. This Jalen Duncan sucks. I feel bad for the guy. He shouldn't be out there. But that's who's starting at left tackle. They spent the entire offseason saying, got to protect the quarterback, got to protect the quarterback. And the guy who is playing left tackle for them right now, not by injury, but by choice, the guy who is playing left tackle for them, when they drafted him, they put up a graphic on TV that said, most sacks allowed in the Big Ten. Meanwhile, the best left tackle in the Big Ten last year is your left guard. That is the incompetence that I just enjoy trying to gaslight everybody into thinking Carthon and Vrabel have a clue of what they're thinking.
We'll do that more.
Yeah. Coming there you up. Go. That's what we're in.
See you guys.
Jared, have a wonderful weekend. Appreciate you.
Merry Christmas, guys.
You as well. We'll react to what Jared had to say. There was a lot there. I'll tell you what, for somebody who doesn't need an alarm to wake up, as he's made clear, pretty impressive energy this early in the morning.
He's got a lot.
He's got a lot to react to.
A lot of stuff flowing through that mouth.
Text line coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. I got some tickets to give away to the Music City Bowl, Transperfect Music City Bowl, as Auburn takes on Maryland at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, December 30th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Our phone number, caller number 5, will win a pair of tickets to the Transperfect Music City Bowl as Auburn takes on Maryland at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, December 30th. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. A lot of thoughts about what Jared Stillman had to say there. What did the Twitter comments say? You spotted in 10 points.
He was doing well. He's talking about the offensive line, and we can all agree it's been bad. Andre Dillard was a big mistake. Yes, we all agree, and I'm not disagreeing even that Andre Brewer, where he slotted in at 4-3, did I say Andre Brewer?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm conflating the entire offensive line. Daniel Skaronski.
Yes.
That was, you know, point of the tweeter there was.
Nicholas Petit Brunskill is playing well out there.
Petit Brewer. A tiny little brewer making beer for you in the holidays. Yeah. The point being, he was doing well when he was talking about the offensive line, and then all of a sudden you start talking about free. Because, again, it's like, fire him. They did nothing good. It's like, you can't actually support that statement. But he tries. He goes on these hills, and he dies on them. And that's just that's another bad one. It's the idea that there was nothing positive out of the first offseason is ridiculous.
Now, there's no question that the offensive line evaluation's got to get better. Like, they did choose Andre Dillard.
That's concerning.
It's a horrible decision.
It's concerning.
Look, I'm not saying that they can't make right decisions. You know, Carthon's been here for one offseason, and he screwed up the left tackle. There's no doubt about that. Now, the Vrabel part of this is more interesting to me in that way, because, like, how much influence did Vrabel have in the Isaiah Wilson pick? How much influence did Vrabel have in the Dylan Radins pick?
Plenty.
Nicholas Petit-Frere. I mean, we can keep going. And I know Petit-Frere is, like, not necessarily a lost cause.
He's a wild card.
Not encouraging from what I saw from him this year.
He's a wild card.
And obviously the suspension didn't help. Point being, Vrabel has been involved in the evaluation of some of these people that they've selected for the offensive line dating back a good while now.
Absolutely. No, that is the biggest concern to me of the commission, is Vrabel as a player evaluator. As a coach, he's a very good coach. As a player evaluator, I don't know, man. There's a lot of mistakes in there. You know, the Titans moved on from a lot of scouts after the 18 draft, a lot of the veteran scouts. they then had, I mean, they had their best draft. It was 2019. But the drafts since then have been, you know, were bad. Obviously, 20 and 21 in particular. You know, 22, you know, it could still be salvaged. Petit Frere, you know what Petit Frere is in a little bit, in a different way. Petit Frere a little bit could be paralleled to Taylor Lewan 7 years ago. Just in terms of at that point going into that draft and they draft Jack Conklin. In fact, I remember writing the column saying like Jack Conklin's good enough to play left tackle and Taylor Lewan, like this is a threat to him. Ideally, Lewan's on the left side, Conklin's on the right side, and you have two tackles, but Conklin might take his job. That was the idea. Lewan, as we know, it all came together for him, and he had a great run at left tackle. He's one of the best left tackles in the NFL. They need Petit Frere to be the wild card who just had weird circumstances and injuries and the gambling thing and everything, and he comes back next year in the best shape of his life, and he's a right tackle. And if that happens, you know, then you can accelerate the whole process. Because, yeah, I hear Jared on Chris Hubbard. It was a nice pickup. I mean, it's a good thing for them because they've had so few pickups, draft or free agency in recent years, that weren't just busts.
Yep.
But you got to be better there. So Petit Frere is a wild card. And if that works out, you know, then you could be fine with Brunskill. You got Skoronski. And really, it's just about left tackle. And you could have a very different-looking offensive line.
He's the wild card, and I hear what Kuharski was saying the other day about the suspension, and obviously that's a factor. It does not change that when he was on the field this year, he was not good.
Yeah.
And that is the concerning part to me is, like, you're allowed to be, you know, to go through a suspension, by the way, have a practice ramp-up period and have your suspension cut down, and still play well on the other side of it, and he did not. And that's concerning to me. Like, like I said, there's so much they've got to do on the offensive line. I don't know where right tackle is going to fall into the priority list this offseason. But I have no idea if Nicholas Petit Frere is a starting caliber right tackle. I've not seen much yet that proves to me that he is.
Right. Yeah, well, I thought the first half of his rookie year is pretty good or whatever. The early stages better than late stages. Late stages, he had some real issues in some games. He obviously came right out as a rookie, and he beat out Dylan Radins at right tackle, you know, for whatever that's worth. By the way, Dylan Radins graded out better than anybody else last time out. I mean, he's at least gotten to – I mean, I don't remember him standing out negatively all that much, which is good
sure.
for him. So he's kind of developed into at least a guy, you know, rotational guy. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know that Petit Frere is going to work out like that, but I'm not ready to toss that out as an idea. And they really need something like that to happen. Because you just can't do it all. I'm trying to think, like, how did Lewan look in 15? He got hurt, right?
He was
hurt part of the year, things like that. But there was a lot of people, like, talking bust with Lewan after the 2015 season.
But he showed infinitely more than
yeah.
Petit Frere had to that yeah. point. Yeah. Now, the main problem that people were talking about with Lewan was, like, can he stop getting himself kicked out of games and 15-yard penalties?
And Malarkey took away the captain yep. thing and all that stuff. So it was like, yeah, is it a loose cannon? Whatever. But I'm just saying, there were questions. There were a lot of questions.
Face the franchise.
That's right. He was your face of the franchise. That's right. With, like, an expression like this.
615-737-1025, our phone yeah. number. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
That's, I don't have one. Go for it.
We'll have more on the Titans' offensive line. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line as well.
A lot of them about Jared.
Coming up next, I'm trying to stall a little bit more because Nick's in there doing work. He's done with his work now. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road.
Don't let us
1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Live from our 1025, the game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Also brought to you by Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Austin texting in saying, you cannot go into the offseason with a mindset that Petit Frere could be the starter. Have to assume he's no good and replace him. Joe, I largely agree with that, but again, you start to look at the list of everything you got to do this offseason, and where does Petit Frere and right tackle come down on that list? I'm not sure, but I know that left tackle's on the list. I know that wide receiver's on the list. I know that cornerback is on the list. There's a lot of things you got to get done this offseason if you're Vrabel and Carthon.
Yeah, like us, it's – I mean, I guess you compare it to like Burks. It's like he's going to be on the team. You have to try to choose over him and just expect him to be bumped down. But if he does – if he fights back against that and he's better than that, great. I'm just saying, like, at what level of investment are you looking at right tackle? Now, I got Jared just blowing me up. And no, this is seriously going to be like 2 hours of a show now.
Roxbrown said that Petit Frere is the same thing as Taylor Lewan.
No, I did not, you d-. I mean, he sends me this text. Look at this text. He sends me this text, and it's like, quote,
niggas Petit Frere can be like Taylor Lewan.
And he has, like all these smiling, laughing, rolling on the floor, yeah, or whatever emojis. Holy bleep, PT stinks. You know, blah, blah, blah. They'll get fired. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the situation. The situation parallel. Not the player. Not the player. The situation. The situation is you have a player at a position where you're not sure if it's going to work out. They were drafted prominently, not the same level of prominence.
Correct.
And then there were different mitigating circumstances for both of them. Injuries, but also the gambling thing with Petit Frere. You have an incredible offseason. You resolve to prove everybody you can do it, and you do. Is it possible Petit Frere could emerge and be the Titans' right tackle? I'm not ruling it out. He thinks Jared, once he calmed down, thinks that Dylan Raiden's their starting right tackle, and that may be true.
Next season?
Next season. I mean, yeah, it's possible. I mean, again, I don't argue with anybody out there who's like, no, you got to upgrade it. But, yeah, you can't do everything. You need some people on this roster right now who are either hurt or not playing well or both especially the guys who are on those first deals, to, like, figure it out. I mean, you have to look at the whole thing and say, okay, like, there's a few guys here that you just hope, like, please be healthy, have a great offseason, be motivated, because we can't replace all of you.
There is one thing that Jared brought up that I buy into, at least taking a look at, and I know at this point they're not going to do it. Like, it is a little bit mystifying to me that, and I realize you drafted Skoronski to be a guard, but it's a little bit mystifying to me that you've had such a problem at left tackle all year long and you have not been able to solve it. And he played left tackle as well as he did in college.
Yeah.
And you never gave it one look over there. That bothers me a little bit if you're the Titans. And look, I don't know that. Maybe they looked at him and they looked at his measurables and they said, you know, he just can't play left tackle in the NFL. I have no idea.
A lot of people said that.
A good left tackle or not. But it is amazing to me that given every different thing they've tried over there, that they've never given him a look. Because, Joe, like, I understand you draft him and you think he can be a really good guard. But what if he is a good left tackle? That solves a gigantic problem for you that you don't have to then go figure out.
Yeah, like, I don't blame them. I understand why they did what they did, like, in camp and everything. They decide he's a guard, and it's, like, he's got to play. Like, this year, they're trying to win this year. They got Tannehill back. They're going for it. So it's like, where's his best position? He's a rookie. Every single rep is there, and that's it. I get it. And also, they thought Dillard could play, right?
Right.
But, yeah, at some point this year, and I think at some point it's just, like, self-preservation, quarterback preservation. I don't see why you don't look at it. They didn't. And I agree with Jared that they're not going to, so be great at guard. I would not say that that's the case right now. I would not say that he's great at guard right now.
No.
And Trevor Maddich did have some good analysis that, you know, gives him some relief on some of those plays last week that looked so ugly because of what's around him, but he's not great at guard right now.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, Joey?
What's up, buddy?
Robbie.
What's going on?
What's up, Robbie? How y'all doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, y'all talking about the Titans' offensive line. I mean, Joe, I know they drafted Ron Scherzer, you know, and put him at guard, but he really does, like Robbie say, I would. He made his niche at Northwestern as a left tackle. So they had to see something with him being a left tackle at Northwestern. And they should really give this guy a shot. He's not really, to me, a guard. He got overpowered Sunday. He got exposed badly. I mean, Dillard has been a crapshoot. Dunk has been a crapshoot. I mean, they're going to have to cut a lot of those guys next year and bring in some new guys and whatnot to try to figure out what kind of offensive line they can have to protect Levis. But, Joe, Robbie, you know, Joe, you overslept the other day, and, you know, I really wanted to give you a gift called a Bighorn. It's an alarm clock. It sounds like a tornado warning going out when you wake up. If you can't wake up from this, Joe, you might have to go see a hearing doctor.
The doctor, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But, Robbie, Joe, you know, Joe, I've been thinking about some things. You've been dominating lately with your debates. You've become the king, Joe. I mean, you're Jerry Lawler, man. You're the king. Yes, Robbie, he's been dominating. And, Joe, you know, I got to thinking about something. I said, man, I got to get a little credit. I'm the one that got Joe to become the king like he has.
He's been on a heck of a run, Mark.
Yeah, he's been on a heck of a run, Robbie. But, Joe, let me ask you something. Since you're the king of Nashville now, Joe, we got New Year's coming up. Joe, you know, I've been like the teacher and you've been the pupil. Joe, let Mark debate you now. Joe, I want to debate you.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you're the best, Joe. Joe, you're the best there is. And I want to debate you.
So everybody wants a shot at me now, huh?
Yeah, don't take it personal, Joe. You know I love you and Robbie more than anything out here, man.
I mean, Mr. Miyagi did not fight Daniel. You know? I mean, I think we need to keep it mentor-protege, man.
You know, I kind of want this. Yeah. I kind of want the Mark-Joe debate.
Let Robbie be to me. That's just a one-time thing. But, Joe, you know I'm going to use the famous words that Robbie put out. Joe, I think I can beat you.
Okay.
I really do, Joe. But I want to debate you. Joe,
I mean,
don't take it personal.
I think we might have to set this up.
Well, you would be better competition than what happens every Wednesday at 5. I can promise you that.
Oh yeah. We'll leave the baloney head on the sidelines. You know, he's an afterthought, man. We're not even gonna think about him, man.
Probably not.
All right,
Mark,
we'll see.
I think we might have to set this up in the new year. This is gonna be good stuff.
Yeah, set it up, Robbie. Because look, Joe, this is gonna be a good year for me, man. I'm getting myself back healthy again. I'm getting my rehab and done. Joe, I'm coming out strong 2024. And, Joe, I'd like to kick it off debating with you. Just a one-off debate, Joe.
Let's do it. One-handed push-ups until then.
We'll get this done. Yeah. Merry Christmas, Mark.
Appreciate you calling in, buddy.
Merry
Christmas, Robbie. Merry Christmas, Joe. See y'all, man.
Merry Christmas, absolutely, buddy. Happy New Year.
I like it. He switched tactics. He's going for you now.
Man, we could have like a Royal Rumble. Different people want to just come at me, ask a question. We'll debate it real quick. Who's next? You know?
That's a good thing. Get a long fuse. Everything you just
that's true.
Take a while to build up a little bit of anger in these debates.
I'm very calm. That's why I just called Jared a dumb bleep on my text, my personal text.
Just get Joe a new laptop, then we'll be okay. Or like a roller.
Another great example of the long fuse the other day.
The thing he's talking about is like the Vikings, like
maybe so.
Like, you know, news team assemble every morning. There you go. That would work.
I hope so. Alex from Montreal on the text line says, sure, Skoronski hasn't been great at guard, but he did have an appendectomy midseason and plays between two bums. This is from Alex from Montreal on the text line. A lot of shade being thrown at Aaron Brewer today here on the program.
Yeah.
On the text line.
Yeah.
Andre Brewer as well, receiving some shade.
Again, and it's like, I don't think anyone is sitting here saying, Andre, what is my problem? Aaron Brewer has been an amazing center. But again, you don't have to exaggerate how bad he's been either, as some sadly do.
That Peter Petit Frere playing really well out there. Keith saying the debate between you and Mark will happen at a motel at Nolensville at midnight.
Peter Petit, huh? Petit Peter. Zach says the counterpoint to Skronsky should be tried out left tackle. They correctly identified Raidens as a guard. They're correctly identifying Skronsky as a guard. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Raidens might be the right tackle.
Right tackle right now.
Raidens a tackle right now. They're all just offensive linemen.
I think they may have correctly misidentified Raidens as all of it.
Right. Exactly.
They may have just misidentified the whole
thing. They just take their names off their jerseys. Make them earn it next year.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We will do that coming up next.
Baloney head.
Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU men's basketball. Blue Raiders on the road taking on Southern Utah with pregame beginning at 7 o'clock, tip-off at 7:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well,
Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a happy new year.
He's kind of ugly, though.
It's that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. You can tell when Keezer gets proud of himself. He's back there. He's got the grin on his face. Coffee mug up. He's really proud of himself for pulling out the Home Alone reference there. Good stuff, Nick.
You're welcome.
Hey, you sound like Corey Curtis.
Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
Thanks. Unbelievable. I had something that I wanted to read, and, you know, Gannett, let me just say, okay, my former employer, Detroit Free Press.
Yes.
Man, you guys can't have so many pop-up ads, and then all of a sudden it flips to a different story. Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
This really pisses me off. All right, I want to talk about the Detroit Lions today.
Okay.
Oh, are you mad because you wanted to play the Lions theme song?
He did.
You would have played the Lions. Well, you didn't ask. You didn't ask, buddy. This is unbelievable. Like, seriously, Detroit Freep, Freep.com. Come on. Proud alum of the Freep.com. All right. I'll find the aggregated version of this that, you know, that Mike Florio does. I have to go to Mike Florio's aggregation of the story.
Michael.
Because, you know, of course, he's got pop-up ads everywhere, too. My God. Okay. The Detroit Lions have had a very good season. We know this, right?
They have.
Good for them. Good for them. Good for their fans. They, I think, are going to make the playoffs, although I still have this sneaky suspicion that they lose at Minnesota this week, and then they go lose at Dallas next week. All of a sudden, all the pressure is on them in the finale with Minnesota coming into their place. Woo!
Yes.
I mean, they're still probably going to squeak in as a wild card, but they might blow the division. I think that's possible. But at this point, they're 10-4. Credit to them, okay? They're a good team. They're a good offensive team, not a very good defensive team, but they're a good offensive team. They're not a contender. But listen, relative to Detroit Lions football, this is an amazing season. It's, you know, this is a team that has won one playoff game since 1957, okay? It's been god-awful football for a long time. So my buddy Dave Burkett, who has covered the Lions, the Detroit Free Press, for so long, he deserves combat pay. He has a story about Jeff Paxton, season ticket holder, a faithful, loyal Lions fan. And this year, his season tickets, four tickets for this season, $5,536.
Okay.
For next season, for the exact same seats, $13,616.
Oh, my goodness.
The Lions are kicking that up 146%.
Wow.
With the quote of, it's like you find out your spouse is cheating on you. But just when I was going to say, I wasn't really going to say it, but some people might say, hey, Sheila Hamp Ford, this member of the Ford family, not a complete goober, incapable. Let's go with incapable of tying her own shoes. And what happens? A whiff of success. A whiff. You got these fans like on the road. You go to Tampa Bay, you go to LA, you go to all these stadiums. They are packing these places. My misguided middle child was at the Tampa Bay game with a Lions jersey. Everybody's so excited. And you treat them like this. The whiff of success, and you're going to jack up prices 146%.
That's wild.
You greedy dirt balls. And it just goes back to the why this franchise will never go anywhere, because of bad ownership. Unbelievable.
They haven't even clinched a playoff spot yet. Now they're going to get in.
Yeah, but boy, but wouldn't it be beautiful though.
They haven't even clinched a playoff spot. We don't even know what they're going to do once they get there, and they've already done that. That's impressive. Does that mean that the demand has gone up that much where supply and demand is correlated to that increase? I actually saw this yesterday, Joe. I didn't see these specific numbers, but apparently Dan Campbell was asked about like the ticket prices going up, and he's like, look, I'm not in marketing. Don't put me in that spot, is what he said. I just my
which
job
is fair.
To win football.
Which is fair. Like, it's not his fault. And he's no coach is going to rip their owner.
It is his fault. He's
well,
winning.
That's true. He's too good. He's so good. And, of course, the Lions spent – look, I mean, to a lesser extent here after the Preds Stanley Cup final run, right, there were some people – and it's not 146% across the board, to be accurate here, okay? But the Lions, of course, their response is, you know, now we were around the bottom of the league and now we're not at the top of the league. But, again – you've been a crap franchise forever. You should have been giving these away for coupons, okay? I mean, I'm sorry. If your product is this bad and when it has a hint of success, you have to go this far. You have to go this dramatic in this league where you can be a crap franchise, as we've discussed, and you can be carried financially by, like, what the Cowboys do, and then everybody still shares, and everybody's fine, and no one is really suffering or in any kind of trouble in this league. And you're going to be that greedy. It's just it crystallizes the issue, and it shows you why they will never do anything.
Well,
until that family sells the team.
Understandably, like, I've seen some reaction from Lions fans on Twitter that are just outraged by this. And you should be. Like, it's an incredible increase in price.
I mean, this dude has to pay like three times what he paid this year to go to games next year because they're 10-4 this year.
Also, imagine them, like, they finish in, you know, 11-6 or 12 and whatever they end up finishing, and then one and done in the playoffs, and you've done this to your price. Right. It's like, oh, great, thanks, appreciate it.
Right. I mean, what if they actually do something? What if they actually win a second playoff game since 1957? What are we talking then?
What if they win the Super Bowl? Them things are going to go up wildly.
I mean, is it
won't be able to get in there?
Right. What it would be like? Yeah, it'd be like you have to buy a bottle of Cristal to get into the stadium.
These are your people.
That's just it's perfect because there's been all this, you know, Sheila. She seems to really
She's
get
different.
It. This is not William Clay Ford. This, you know, this, and here we go. Just come right out and just stick it to these loyal people, these poor people who have somehow, for some reason, stuck with you through all this garbage. It's amazing.
So is there any word on how those sales are going yet in terms of the renewals and all that?
I don't know, but they'll sell.
They'll
yeah,
sell.
They will. But also, you know what'll happen? Is it'll be a less intense atmosphere.
I agree with
that. Because you are pricing out some people, and you got people who may not be as drunk and rowdy as the people who are in there now.
That is correct.
I mean, the Pontiac Silverdome may have been a bleep hole, but my God, man, those loud people got after it. Yeah, for that sorry franchise.
615-737-1025, our phone number. It's been a while since you called out the Lions. I feel good about it.
Dennis,
getting into this weekend.
Dennis says, what are the Pistons going to do to prices when they win a game? Tom Gores, jump on that, Tom! Some great owners. Really good owners up there.
Ended a 48-game losing streak. It cost $100 to get into this next game.
Oh, God.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Teron Davenport. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Seahawks as the Titans prepare for battle coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.